Thank you.
Ms. Fleming?
Yes.
Judge Buckley?
Here.
Judge Cope?
Here.
Judge Fannin? Here. Judge Gabe?
Here.
Judge Heinrichs?
Here.
Judge Kelly?
Here.
Judge Marginis?
Here.
Judge Ryan? Judge Thompson? Ms. Bartleson?
Told us she would not be able to make it. Go ahead.
Thanks, Judge. Ms. Carter?
Here.
Ms. Eberhardt?
Here.
Mr. Finke?
Here.
Mr. Landry? Yeah, he may be running late today, Judge Conklin.
Okay.
Mr. Planet?
I'm here.
Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Ms. Turner?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Here.
And advisory members, Mr. Wardlaw?
Yes, good afternoon, everybody.
And Ms. Mueller?
Yes, here.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you all. I'll start off this meeting by saying I miss you guys. I wish we were doing this in person. Face-to-face is something that we've been robbed with, but understandably so, given our current crisis. So we're doing our best. I do appreciate the time you're all taking to get together today. Also, double appreciation to many of you who are on the FPS meeting just 2 hours ago. Thank you all for that very much. Just a couple housekeeping matters. I think we've all been well trained and practiced in blue jeans by now. I'd ask if you're not speaking, you keep yourself on mute just so there's no feedback. But if you need to speak, don't forget to unmute yourself. You're all encouraged to participate, and I think you all know that. Brandy, I believe there was no public comment received for this meeting. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. And with that, preliminary motions, I'm going to invite a motion to approve the minutes from our October 15th virtual meeting. Is there a motion to approve?
Hope so moved.
Thanks. Second?
Marginis seconds.
Moved and seconded. Considering this is a virtual meeting, rather than asking for an aye vote, I'm just going to ask, is there any objections? Hearing no objections, the minutes are deemed approved unanimously. Unanimously. Thank you. Feel like I'm still wearing my mask. So we have two items. Let's see, for discussion items, we have three action items on today. The first is the reallocation of the model self-help pilot funds. And I see Bonnie on. Bonnie, thanks so much for joining us. I will pitch it to you to take over. This is a consideration of a recommendation regarding reallocations of $191,400 in pilot grant funds for 2021 from the technology project due to withdrawal of the project. Bonnie?
Thank you, Your Honor. So this project...
Hold on, I see Judge Ryan speaking.
Oh.
I can't hear you for some reason, Judge Ryan, but that's okay.
I think she's just letting you know that she's here. Yeah.
Right.
Sorry.
That's okay. Sorry. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Apologize for the interruption.
Not a problem.
Nope. Thank you, Your Honor. The model self-help projects have been part of the state budget for many years now. They were based on a BCP to test different innovations in self-help, and the projects continue and continue to provide support and assistance to other self-help centers throughout the state. One of the models, which was the technology model, was run by the Contra Costa Superior Court for many years. They did a virtual self-help website and provided other resources. Last year, they decided to withdraw from the project due to other priorities. And I think the fact that the Judicial Council hired the attorney that was doing the self-help website, who's fabulous. And so last year, we, given the timing and COVID and everything, we brought to the committee and you approved a reallocation among the four projects that remain to do a technology, add technology to their innovations. And Los Angeles and the San Francisco Superior Court received additional augmentation after an application process. We were not sure how this was going to be treated in the budget this year and thought that we might be getting a 10% reduction like many other pieces of the branch budget, but the legislature determined to maintain the funding as it was. And so staff's recommendation is that we open up this project to allow another court to become the technology innovation project. And that might allow courts to adapt some of the great work that has been done through innovations or other kinds of things and continue that work. So that is the recommendation. The thought is that we would have a very simple application process and have representatives from this committee, from the Committee on Providing Access and Fairness, and from ITAC, since this is a technology project, to make sure that everything is in line. But to get the money out this year. These grants run through September 30th of each year. So I think that there would be substantial time for a new project to come in, especially since technology projects often need additional capital resources at the beginning of the project. And I'm happy to entertain any questions.
So rather than reallocating within those who have already received grant funding, the suggestion is that we invite somebody else to come in for these funds and for the purpose the funds were intended.
Yes. And if it appears, I mean, I would recommend that the committee be authorized if it appears, for example, that a new project can't spend all those funds this year, that they could consider some reallocation within the four projects as well for this year only. But I think to bring in another project would be appropriate at this time.
Any questions concerning the recommendation?
Judge Conklin, this is Kim Turner.
Go ahead, Kim.
So Bonnie, for projects like the Butte Superior Court Regional Sharp Tech project that 13 courts are involved in, so I realize we're at the end of the three-year grant cycle, or we've already concluded the grant cycle. So if that undertaking with the 13 courts wanted to continue, would they need to reapply again? Or I'm looking at number two on your recommendations, reallocate funds among existing programs and encourage them to expand their technology services. Would Butte, as the lead court, be able to just simply request, you know, additional funding to continue the work of the Sharp Tech project?
Yes, that would be another option. Yes, currently the Butte program is our regional coordination program. It's been funded since the beginning to do that work. And so the original SHARP projects all come from the Model Self-Help Pilot Project, and the innovations grants allowed them to expand to additional courts. But yes, they could certainly, under number two, they could certainly come in and ask for continuation of that.
Would that require a new application from that court or from a court that would take the lead?
Or I think so. I think so, because I think we have four projects. If we were redistributing among the current projects, we have Los Angeles that's providing urban collaboration. We have Fresno that is working on Spanish, and we have San Francisco that has a multilingual model. So I think we would want to be in a position of enabling all of them to say that they could expand their services as a result. Or we could we can open up to allow other courts to participate as well.
Judge Conklin, this is Chris Rule.
Go ahead, Chris.
Bonnie, just a question. So are you asking us to recommend one or the other of the two alternatives you suggested on pages 7 and 8?
I think so. I mean, I think that particularly for this year, it might be possible to both bring in another program and redistribute funds for this year. I would like to get guidance about whether you would like to bring in another program altogether or just fund the four existing programs.
So I guess I'm piggybacking off of Chris's question, but they appear to be mutually exclusive. So if the only way we would reallocate funds is if we don't bring in another entity. Is that correct?
Yes, except that there may be a little bit of additional money this year because these whatever the new project is likely not to be starting until, you know, March or something, partway through the year. So there may be some funds this year, but for going on, yes, it would. We would need, if we were bringing on a new program, we would not have additional funds for reallocating among the existing programs.
So could we modify this? And I guess I'll make the motion just to get the discussion going, but
sure.
We would modify recommendation number 2 to say absent a new court joining or additional funds remaining, then reallocate funds among the existing programs. Would that clarify things? Does that clarify for you, Bonnie?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. So, sorry, this is Kim again. I'm sorry to be a little dense today. So I'm still trying to figure out exactly how existing programs then, if we go with option 1 to allow all courts to apply, or existing courts, if they wanted to apply to continue or expand their current services, they would just submit an application under this.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. For the 4 existing courts, my thought was to not require them to resubmit. But if, for example, Butte wanted to more than the $192,000 that it already receives for this project, then yes, I think they would need to submit an application. Sorry.
So if, for example, they wanted to add additional courts, go from 13 courts to 20 small and rural courts, they would have to ask for more money, and that would
yes.
be the application process.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. This is Sherry. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Sherry.
Please.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sherry, you're first.
So I have no objection in having other courts apply for the money. We're not talking about a huge amount of money when you're, you know, it's 191,000 folks, but what I am worried about it is mid-November. And so if the application period is too big to allow, it's going to be hard to obligate and spend the money. I'm assuming it dies in June, right?
The current contracts go through September 30th.
Okay.
So,
but there's
so there is more money.
Yeah. So I have no objection and would even be willing to do a motion that there would be a very small window, maybe 30 days, for courts to submit an application for the funds. I see that you have a recommendation on getting a committee together that could quickly review them. That now puts us in the end of January, and that's assuming people work through the holidays, to decide how the 191 is going to be allocated in February, and there's not a whole lot of time to get it obligated. So, if we're going to do it, I would say to put a 30-day window, get your committee to make a decision within 30 days, allocate it in February, or courts will not be able to find ways to spend it, even with their existing programs. So that would, you know, unless Judge Marginis has something that would change that, I would even make that into a motion.
So I'm sorry to interrupt everybody, but I think procedurally, I've made this more complicated than it needs to be because I just made a motion. Now Sherry's made a motion.
And I'm
so
sorry.
No, it's not your fault, Sherry, it's mine. So let's start over. I'm withdrawing my motion so procedure can be clear. Sherry has made a motion, as I understand it, to add to the recommendation the timeline proposed. Is that correct, Sherry?
Yes, because I agree with Kim and I agree with you, Judge Conklin, that if other courts would like to be considered for some of the kernels of this small bucket of money, then we need to put a 30-day window on it. And then Bonnie's committee needs to have 30 days to evaluate it so that we can look at allocation no later than February, because there's not a lot of time left. When you consider next week is Thanksgiving, and then we've got, you know, the holidays in December. So that would be my motion, is that we allow a 30-day application period for any other courts. The committee gets together and we try to have the final recommendations and the allocation by February.
Can I ask for perhaps, Sherry, if you would consider making the motion instead of saying 30 days to say by December 31st, because that'd only be about a week difference and we got holidays
absolutely.
Thrown in there. All right, great,
yep.
Thank you.
I think that sounds great. Yes.
This is Chris. I like the language you had suggested on number two. Perhaps that could be a friendly amendment to Sherry's motion.
Okay. So I know Judge Marginis wants to speak, so I just want to keep procedurally where we are. Sherry has moved that we amend the recommendation to require courts to apply by December 31st. And then Chris Rule along and has stepped in to clarify what I tried to do, to say that, well, recommendation number two would be modified to say, and Chris helped me out on this, absent additional courts applying for funds or additional funds remaining, comma, reallocate funds among the existing programs as continued. Is that accurate, Chris?
I think in the event additional funds remain.
I like that.
Good, thank you.
Judge Conklin,
yes,
if I could just comment, thank you. First, it must be nice, Sherry, to work in a court where $191,000 is rounding error.
No, it's because we've already got four courts they're looking at, and if we have a window, we might all get about $7,000 each. So,
I was teasing. In any case, my thought was, with respect to the second option, do we really want to reallocate money where courts have not asked for it? I mean, wouldn't you first, rather than just dumping additional funds on courts which may not need it or may not have use for it, wouldn't we be better off to require those courts to make a request and make a showing of why they need additional funds out of this $191,000 pot?
Bonnie?
Absolutely. And that is how we handled it last year. And two of the courts did not apply. We gave everyone a month to think about, a little bit more time to think about it. And two of the courts did not apply for additional funding. And so that was not allocated.
In that case, may I make a friendly amendment to the last motion, which is to add in a requirement that the courts apply for the additional funding?
So,
however you want to phrase that.
Yeah, I apologize. This, I think, is getting a little more complicated than anticipated, because the question then becomes, timing-wise, when? We've now set that for those courts that want to apply, come in, that are not already in,
mm-hmm.
and apply for part of these funds, they do that by December 31st. But now we won't know until December 31st if other courts are applying. So how will other courts, what's the timeline for other courts to say, oh, since nobody else asked for it, we want to ask for it?
Well, I think you can run along parallel tracks and invite those courts who currently have the funding to request additional funding at this, and indicate it's on condition that no new courts receive the money.
Perfect.
So, I mean, I think it's doable. Since it's my motion, can I try to incorporate Judge Marginis's suggestion?
Please.
That new courts and existing programs must submit an application by December 31st. And I would even defer to the group that Bonnie's going to work with to determine how to allocate it, because if it has to come back here in February, it's too long. So I would even include in the motion to delegate authority to the committee to decide how to allocate the money to the existing and any new applications.
And I would second that motion.
And so we're all clear. Bonnie, do you know what the motion is? And Brandy, do you have it as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Moved by Ms. Carter, seconded by Judge Marginis, that the recommendations at page 7 and 8 be approved with the modifications noted. Any additional discussion on that motion? And once again, since we're doing this electronically, is there any objection to the motion as modified? Hearing no objection, the recommendations at page 7 and 8 of the report are approved with the modifications noted. Bonnie, thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate your help.
You bet. Now we're moving to item number two, and that is the 1920 final one-time reduction for fund balances above the 3%. Oksana, are you with us?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Great. Great. So I'm going to have you take that over with, and I'll just briefly, as we're all aware, the 3% fund cap, and I'm overgeneralizing, but says to courts that they can maintain up to 3% of their general funds. Anything above that essentially has to be returned. And so, as I understand the report now from Oksana, it's a review of those one-time reductions if necessary. Oksana?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Oksana Tak, Senior Budget Analyst with Budget Services. I'm presenting today to tick back on discussion and action agenda item number two for 2019-20 final one-time reduction for fund balances above the 3% cap. Government Code Section 77203, Subdivision B, allows trial courts to carry over unexpended funds in the amount not to exceed 1% of the court's operating budget from the prior fiscal year, commencing June 30, 2014, and concluding June 30, 2019. Commencing June 30, 2020, the trial court may carry over unexpended funds in the amount not to exceed 3% of the court's operating budget from the prior fiscal year. Government code requires that in January of each fiscal year, after review of available trial court reserves as of June 30th of the prior fiscal year, Judicial Council shall finalize allocations to trial courts, and each court finalized allocation shall be offset by the amount of reserves in excess of the amount authorized to be carried over. Trial courts submitted their final 3% computation with final year-end information by October 15, 2020. I would like to direct your attention now to attachment A on page 12 of the materials. The figures in attachment A reflect the trial court finalized and closed accounting records for 2019-20. Column K displays court final total reduction computation of $6.378 million. On the following page, attachment B provides details on the final allocation adjustments for 2019-20 3% cap adjustment and TCTF funds hold on behalf request amounts that will be allocated for current year expenditures shown in column F, and those will be distributed in the February 2021 distribution number 8 to the trial courts, as well as amounts that will be retained in TCTF for the future year expenditures shown in column G. Budget Services staff recommendation for TIGBAG is to approve the 3% fund balance cap reduction allocation of $6.378 million to match the trial court's final calculations of the amount above the 3% fund balance cap, which nets to $1.5 million after the total funds hold on behalf reduction. For consideration and recommendation to the Judicial Council at its business meeting on January 22, 2021. That concludes our presentation. We'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Oksana. So to overgeneralize, as I tend to do, as I understand it, at the end of the fiscal year, $6.3 million was in excess, the courts in total, after all the budget had it only, and I know that sounds, but it actually is a relatively small amount, $6.3 million. We then back out of that the funds held on behalf. That is the money that those courts have asked to have held on their behalf for continuing projects. And at the end of all this, there's only $1.5 million that's being returned back to the general fund. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Any questions or discussion on this item? Hearing none, I'd invite a motion concerning the recommendation at page 11 of 21 of your materials.
Judge Ryan, move approval.
Thank you, Judge Ryan. Is there a second?
Judge Thompson, second.
Moved and seconded that the recommendation at page 11 of 21 concerning what Ms. Tuck has just presented be approved. Is there any opposition to the motion? Hearing no opposition, I'll deem the motion unanimously approved. Ms. Tuck, thank you so much for your typically efficient and effective presentation. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And speaking of effective and efficient, we're turning next to Mr. Wood Cottrell from Budget Services concerning our final item on the trial court trust funds held on behalf of quarterly expenditure reporting. This is an informational item only, Cottrell, is that correct? Or is it
an yes, item? It's an information only item.
Great. Thanks. Go ahead.
Upon completion of the TCTF funds held on behalf of projects or planned expenditures, courts are required to report to TIGBEC within 90 days on the project or planned expenditure and how those funds were expended. This past October, we reached out to several courts who indicated that their projects or planned expenditures would have been completed through September 30th of 2020. Following that survey, if you will, we did receive one response, and that was from Placer Superior Court, which reported completion of development and installation of a new case management system. The total cost for that project was $211,350. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Wood about the update concerning the TCTF funds held on behalf of? Cottrell, you take efficiency to a new art. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate that. Brandy, is there anything else that we need to resolve at our TICBAC meeting today?
Not today, Judge. Thank you.
Okay. So there are a lot of things going on out there, a lot of work being done. This meeting is sort of an update, but there's a lot to come. So stand by. Most importantly, stay healthy. This is a difficult time for all of us, and I'll just share from my perspective. I know you're all working beyond extreme measures to try to get our courts effectively run. And from my humble opinion, it's much appreciated, and I'm sure it is for many above. Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing nothing, I think the best good of the order at this point is to adjourn the meeting. Thank you all so much for your time. Stay healthy.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Nice holidays, everybody. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you.